Welcome back to Epilogues and Unpacking of the Weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Trump. This week we are going to be looking at the Haftarah of Parshas Bo. The topic is the fall of Egypt. It is easy to understand why this Haftarah is chosen in the Parsha of Bo when Israel leaves the nation of Egypt and Egypt is now downtrodden. It is important, though, when understanding this Haftarah, to understand the historical context in which this is being said. Our Haftarah comes from Perek Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel to Chav Ches. And the context of this Haftarah is at a time when Yirmiyahu is living at the time of the end of the second, or the end of the first base of Mikdash. And there's a great amount of instability in the Middle East. The power which had dominated the Middle East for many decades and centuries now was Assyria. But Assyria fell very, very fast, precipitously, to the growing terror in the Middle East called Babylon. And in the power vacuum, many nations sought to occupy that vacuum. And when Babylon started to take the dominance in the Middle East, many of the smaller states banded together in order to fight back. And the greater other power, which was also vying for control, was Egypt in the south. So Babylon in the north was taking the space of Assyria. Egypt in the south was trying to fill that void and trying to set up take parts of the Assyrian Empire and also set up barriers that the Babylonians could not go beyond. However, Egypt carried on losing, and Israel, caught in the middle of this with some of the smaller states, Ammon, Edom, Moab, had to make decisions as to where they were going to be. Were they going to be subservient to the Babylonians, or were they going to fight back along with the alliance of Egypt? And Israel, to the chagrin of the prophets, because Yirmiyahu told them to pay homage to Babylon, not to fight against Babylon. But the kings of Israel did not listen. The noblemen did not listen to Yirmiyahu. Instead, they tried to fight against Babylon. They tried to make an alliance with Egypt. It is in this context that Yirmiyahu now reminds us of the fact that Egypt itself will fall. You cannot rely on Egypt. So let's listen to some of the poetic language Yirmiyahu uses when describing Egypt. He turns to the Egypt of then and he says to them, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, Lahakoisis Eretz Mitzrayim. He's going to come. Nebuchadnezzar will destroy Egypt as well. And he says, call out, Hashmil Bamigdal, Vashmil Benof, Betach Ben Ches. Call out in all the cities of Egypt and say that, listen, you're going to know that the sword is about to surround you as well. And he calls out, Hirbo Koshel Gam Nofel Ish El Re'eyu. There's going to be many, many people falling upon each other. People are going to be tripping over each other, fleeing, and they're going to say, Kumavana Shuvol Alamein Vel Eretz Mol Adatayna. People are going to run back to their land. This is referring to the refugees from the war, the Mitzvah points out, that the people came to aid it to the Egyptians. All those other nations that they thought they had in their arsenal, that they thought were their allies, will all be returning to their homelands because they don't want to fight alongside Egypt as well. And then he says, Koru Shom Paro Melech Mitzrayim Sha'on He'evir Mo'ed. Pharaoh called a time and he missed the appointed meeting. This is the psychological warfare, says Rashi, that the Babylonians are raising, is that Pharaoh cannot even make it on time to his war because he's so scared of fighting the Babylonians as well. They're using that as a way to weaken the resolve of the Egyptians as well. Then he says a very powerful line. He says that Klei Gola Asilach, make for you, Egypt, vessels of the diaspora, of vessels of exile, because you are going to be a destroyed country, Me'ain Yoshev, and your people will be in exile, much like Israel was about to go into as well. Then he describes with interesting metaphor, Egla Yafei Fiyah Mitzrayim Keretz Mitzafon Boeva, that your this beautiful calf, but is going to be crushed, is going to be killed from the northern onslaught, which refers to the Babylonians as well. Why the metaphor for the calf? The Malbim says because this is a symbol of beauty being cut down as well. And it could also be they served the cow. There was the Egyptians, this is one of their idolatries. So the Babylonians killing it is a sign of their imminent destruction, that even their pagan deities are being cut down as well. And we hear continued descriptions in Yirmiyahu about this. You're going to be cut down like wood we chop down in the forests, and they're going to take away the forest, they're going to cut everything, and there's not going to be anything left as well. So it's really terrifying. The door to Egypt will be dried up. So Nitna B'yad Am Tzafon will be given in the hands of a northern kingdom, referring to the Babylonians. Very, very powerful descriptions. And he says, I'm going to attack, or I'm going to draw attention to Amon Minah. What does that refer to? So the Mepharshim debate, the Radak says it could be that the king of Egypt's name was Na. It could also mean the multitudes of Hamon, the multitudes of the city of Alexandria, which is called Na as well, who will be scared because their kings, their pharaoh, their gods will be cut down as well. And then at the end, he gives a little bit of a glimmer of hope, and he says, "Satim b'viad marak shenach shech, v'viad nevuchat ben melech nevuchat netz melech bav, all your enemies will come upon you. V'acharechein tishkon kimei kedem nu Hashem. You will return to your grandeur." So there is a glimmer of hope over here, which is being described in this ultimate destruction. And finally now, Yirmiyahu pivots towards Israel and says this beautiful description, "Va'ata al tira avdi Yaakov, don't fear my servant Yaakov. Don't underestimate the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kineni Moshiach HaMerachok, I'm going to save you from afar. I'm going to bring you v'shav Yaakov, v'shakat v'shanan, and you're going to have respite and rest v'ayin macharid, and no fear." And again he says, don't fear. Al tira avdi Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you to this end, and you're not going to be totally destroyed as well. So why does Israel need to hear this over here? Why is this so important? So the Mitzvah says it's looking that the Egyptians' salvation, the Egyptians are receiving a prophecy of complete destruction, but yet they come back, and if they come back, then you should know that you, Israel, will also have a resurgence from your diaspora. So it's a metaphor for this as well. But on the other hand, it could also be a reminder that Israel's making the wrong alliance. Israel, you think you find your security in these Egyptians. You think that this nation is going to save you from the Babylonians. It's not. It's not. Don't fear if you're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but fear if you're with the Egyptians, because they don't stand much of a chance. That's what seems to be being described over here as well. And finally, one last little piece of it, which is fascinating, is that the way that Yaakov is spelled, Yaakov is the word Yaakov to describe Israel in exile, is used three times in these sentences. Al tira avdi Yaakov twice, and the other one is v'shav Yaakov, v'shakat v'sharon. Yaakov will return and have respite and peace. That word Yaakov over there, the middle one, has an extra vav in it. Yud aleph kuf vav beis. Where does that vav come from? Why is it spelled malay with the extra vav? So the Malbim says that he actually took it from the word Esav, because really Esav should have been, he was called Esav because he was born fully formed. The word for fully formed is asui, which with a yud at the end. But Yaakov took that yud, and Yaakov's name from the word akev or heel should have been akev, but he took the yud from the end of Esav's name. So instead of Esav being asui, Esav became Esav, and Yaakov became, instead of akev, Yaakov. But at the end of time, he will also take the vav as well from Esav. So he'll be Yaakov as well. That's one explanation. But more famously, it is worthwhile knowing that in Tanakh, throughout the course of Tanakh, there are five times where the word Eliyahu is spelt without the vav, and five times where Yaakov is spelt with an extra vav. And Rashi tells us in Parshas Bechukos that it is a collateral that Yaakov Avinu takes from Eliyahu, that his children will ultimately be redeemed, saying, Eliyahu, you're going to have to come. I'm going to hold the vav until the point that you come. And that's the message Yirmiyahu is saying. Don't trust other nations. Don't think you can find military success there. I understand you trust me, and then ultimately you will be saved. With this, we conclude the Haftarah of Parshas Bo. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.